This does indeed feel a bit unique. One thing about testimonies is that they are intensely personal. I would not be comfortable saying this many I's and we's except by your request. I'm looking forward to hearing from some of you in the future. That gives me reason to proceed. Title this evening is 50 Years and 50 Minutes. So we'll try to cover that much that quickly. And two verses to begin. In Luke 9, Jesus said, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I do not generally review things deeply as I probably could. I kind of take this verse at face value and say that it is more valuable to look forward than to look back, but I have found that this review has been good for me. I did not overly spiritualize this. It's a list of things and people and events. Maybe it would have been more helpful to think about what have I learned in 50 years or how many mistakes could have been avoided, but I just took the general practical approach as this is what happened. And Colossians 3:23 has been a bit of a motto. And looking back, I saw some of this. It just simply says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And so I tend to attack projects with my whole heart. And at some point, they're finished and I'm ready to go on to the next one. Something like that. Okay, ancient history here, 1973, November the 7th. Alan and Faye Good had their first son, Stephen Frank Good. Some of you know Alan and Faye. Alan was the deacon, I think, at one point for the Front Royal Church, the predecessor to this church. Grew up on a dairy farm outside of Harrisonburg in a little town of Montezuma, which is close to Dayton. Martin's Native Lumber was the closest business. They had a whistle that blew at lunch and at 5 o'clock. I remember that. And my parents were Old Order Mennonite. I remember riding in a buggy. The one I remember vividly, but long time ago, was buggies are not very wide, like maybe this or this with one seat, because I think Dad saw a change coming, and so we still had that. And so there was Mom and Dad and Steve and Cindy and Wanda, and I think Wanda was the baby, and Cindy was sitting on Dad's lap, and Mom was holding the baby, and I was standing up in between, kind of leaned back against the back of the buggy, and my foot went to sleep. I'm not sure why I remember it, but I do. We were kind of close to the Bank Church on one of those little roads. So about the time I turned 6, Mom and Dad made the change to Southeastern and started attending Bethany and joined there, and I went to the Berea Bank School instead of the Old Order School. That's the little brick building out back of the Bank Church. It still stands. The lower grades were in the lower level, the upper grades were in the upper, and the high school was in the bank basement. So those were my school years. Just a bit more about my family. I have two sisters. Cindy married Sherman Showalter, Nelson and Marie's son, and fairly soon after their marriage, they started attending Covenant Presbyterian, which is on Mosby Road near Sharp Shopper. There was some difficulty there, and they have been faithful there, and we appreciate that. And Sherman flies a medical helicopter for AirCare 5 out of Weir's Cave. When I see AirCare go across, I often wonder if it's Sherman, and sometimes I text him, "Did you fly across Newmarket today?" "No," he says, "I was off." Or, "Yes, we did." My second sister, Wanda, is married to Craig Martin. He is a supervisor with Good Excavating, or a manager. They would be in the Weaverland Conference, better known as the Black Bumper Church. And they have 4 daughters, and she is teaching school at Hickory Hollow the last 2 years, I think. And my little brother, Daniel, who outgrew me He's 10 years younger. He works for Good Excavating, and Jonathan works for him. His wife is Amara Heatwell Good, and they have one little girl, Jasmine. When I was young, I enjoyed fishing, trapping, reading, adventure, plants, and how things work. It is amazing that you can look at your children and see those same things playing out. My elementary teachers, Ruth Ann Rohr. Ruth Ann was at the visitation or funeral and got to connect with her again. She was well over 6 feet. I don't know if she is still, but when she was my teacher, she was over 6 feet. And she wore shoes that were hard to find, because how many ladies' shoes come in 13 men's? And I really appreciated her a lot. Colleen Beachy was another teacher. She's passed away. Elmina Yoder is, I think, at Mountain View Nursing Home. She wrote the little Praises We Sing, compiled that book, the Orange Children's Songs book. In fact, when she was my teacher, I think it just came out. And I remember some excitement about that, and Berea bought those books, and that was our music book, the one she put together. Another teacher was Diane Freed, whom you all know because she's the wife of Dan Freed, and they were attendees or members or beyond that, at members at Front Royal. Tim Harlow works for Corwin Heatwell as, I think, a CFO, not that far from Christian Light. And Ken Rank, some of you know, Ken and Mildy, his wife. Ken was my teacher. I will say this. I did not spend tons of time nailing down exact dates. I'm going to say about and around a good many times because it saved a lot of time, and I doubted that you really cared about what month and day it happened. Anyway, when I was around 12, I remember my conversion experience. Some of you will be able to correct some of this afterward, and I'm going to give you a chance to correct things and ask questions at the end. But the tent meetings were at Briary Branch that year in David Cupp's hayfield, and we think Eli Yutzi was the speaker, but we're not positive, and Brother JP might be able to answer some of these questions. I responded there at those tent meetings. I remember the peace and joy, and especially how bright the stars were driving home. I just remember that very much. Brother Eldwin Campbell was our bishop. He was my instruction class leader. I was baptized, and I should have probably gotten this date, but when I was 13 or 14. I would say my teenage years were normal in that there were some struggles, different things. And I remember making a recommitment, a public recommitment at Bethany in my late teens. I'll swing back now to the high school teachers. Brother Keith was one of my teachers there. He taught Bible, church history, grammar. He was principal. He worked for my father on the dairy farm. They lived across the road in the brick house. And he drove the school van. And this evening, in a moment of recollection, going down a downgrade, I shifted the van, overdrive, drive, second, just to hear it go, woo, 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 because I remember Brother Keith doing that occasionally. I don't know why. He just did. Another teacher, Mr. Kent Miller, algebra, geometry, computer. Amazingly enough, I had no idea. And chemistry. Actually, that was an extra credit for me, and part of the way through the year I dropped out because it felt over my head and I was too busy, and I wish now I would have stuck with it. Miss Doris Rohr taught typing. If there was one class I should have applied myself to with heart and soul, it was that class. I didn't and suffered for it for the next, I guess, 35 years. It's just so nice to be able to watch people take notes in a meeting. They're watching the screen. They're typing. They're not looking at their fingers or the screen. And at the end, they have nice minutes already nearly finished. I'm a bit jealous of that. Mr. James Gehring taught us literature class. I didn't bring a literature book, but I brought a Bible that he gave to me in high school. James Gehring, May 1990. I've used this for my personal reading from then till now, and it's about shot, but it's still there, and I really appreciate this one. And Keith Nicely, who now works at Crowder Machine Shop, taught shop class. My dad was not a mechanic. If something broke, we called someone to fix it, except for maybe changing oil and greasing machinery and sharpening knives. But Keith taught us metal fabricating and welding and mechanics and drill bit sharpening and torching and bending and cutting and all kinds of things that were highly interesting to me, and I was intrigued from that point forward. Sometime in there, I did some American school because I had this goal of getting out of this dreaded thing called school, and I needed some summer classes. I did sketching and drafting, which proved to be highly helpful for the rest of my life. At some point in there, I had a greenhouse and grew some plants for people. I was built a few water gardens. There were two there at the farm, one for helped Kevin Shank on one and a couple others. Did some landscaping. I enjoyed mountain biking, hiking, camping, and still like to hunt. My senior year was at the new Berea that most of you know now as Berea. My last year in school was the first year that it was in operation, 1990 and 91. Graduating class was Regina Gehring, married to Fred Nicely. Kathy Rohr, married to Brian High, I think a well-known name here, right? Tara Durstein, married to Laurel Eby. Marlon Showalter, married to Miriam Carr, thank you. Dorcas Nicely, married to Norman Yoder. Andrea Beery, married to Jonathan Nisley. I've lost track of Donna Dove. Donna Yoder, married to Dwayne Hurst, and Carrie Nicely. And our class song was, Lord, I'm Following You. Now, I was helping Dad on the farm and doing some other miscellaneous jobs because the winters weren't too busy. And there was this section between high school and marriage of 9 years, graduated in 91, married in 2000, that, looking back, I'm not sure how this all fit. But I'm going to give a sincere thank you to my parents. Their apron strings were long and stretchy, and they probably prayed more than I had any idea and worried some, but they allowed us to do many things. Somewhere in there were two trips to Homestead, Florida after Hurricane Andrew to rebuild with Myron Burkholder went along on one or two of those trips. I think both of those times we drove down to Key West, which is the southernmost point in the United States. And I think both of those trips we worked a week plus, and then we spent some time going to and from, and it ended up being about a two-week trip each time. Sometime in there, I drove for the Christian Light Workshop Tour, which if you're not familiar with is, let me just say what I'm going to say, and then I'll try to explain it. That year, we did everything in one trip instead of two. So it was 5 weeks. Mostly, I was driving at night, and they were teaching in the day. And the three men that went along were Fred Miller and Pete Peters, and I could not think of the other gentleman. I can picture him, but that was as far as I got. I think he lived in Ohio, but I'm not positive. And so they would have these teaching classes in the day, and it was my job to help them get set up every morning with the tables and the books. I would go to bed and sleep best I could, and then at night I would help them put everything back in the RV, and I would drive them to their next place. That was a very enjoyable 5 weeks. I just loved it. We went north, worked our way up through Pennsylvania, New York, up to Ontario. We went through Canada all the way out to Manitoba, south down along the West Coast, back east through central southern United States, about a five-week trip. I could stop at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They would be sleeping soundly in their bunks, or I thought they were. I could stop at a gas station or truck stop, fuel up, take a shower, sit down and get a good meal, get back on the road. I don't know if they knew the difference or not. As long as I got them to where they needed to be the next morning, it's what mattered. And I just really enjoyed that. One night in Canada, Western Canada, The northern lights were so impressive on the snow-covered mountains. I just won't forget that. And another night, deep in the night, in my headlights, I saw elk crossing the road, and I just hauled on the brakes and swerved really hard. And you know, a big old top-heavy RV, it just went, whoo, pulled it back. I think I rolled one of them out of their bunks. Fred, Brother Fred Miller came up. He was clearly groggy and shook. And he rode with me in his pajamas in the front seat because he thought I had fallen asleep. And it was a real concern. But I was not that shook. I swerved. We missed the elk, praise the Lord. Got back on the road. I was fine. I was wide awake. No problem. But Brother Fred wasn't. I enjoyed going to the MCC meat canner. Mennonite Central Committee ran a meat canner there, there outside of Dayton every year. I did some Mennonite disaster service projects. One was in Montezuma, Georgia. In 92, I went to one term of Maranatha Bible School, and at the visitation was talking with a couple. They looked to be about middle-aged, I thought, or a little older. Turned out we had been in Bible school together. I had forgotten. I also worked with Brother Kevin Shank on some wildlife photography. I will tell you a little secret. Audubon, high-end photographic guide to Mid-Atlantic. If you go to page 271, there's a picture of a copperhead on a rock. The secret is that copperhead is dead. Kevin and I took that picture together. It looks very lifelike. We got in the book. The photo credit says Kevin Shank, Dogwood Ridge Photography, page 271C, along with a few other pictures he has in this book. But you can check it out, but it's not alive. It just looks good. I worked with my cousin Trent Showalter at a welding shop there in Montezuma. One winter, Marlon Showalter and I drove to Dryden, Ontario to check out Northern Youth Programs, who wanted us to come there. One of us are both as mechanics, and we decided not, but it was a great trip. We just simply decided we wanted to go to Dryden, and so fuel up the Ranger, take some clothes along, drive to Dryden. We got to Dryden. We were there maybe a week, decided not, but we were young and free, and we decided, well, why not drive around, instead of the closest way home, why not drive around the north side of Lake Superior and the Great Lakes and come down around that way, like Niagara Falls and down. So we did that. Amazing, really. Interesting note, Lowell Lee was the mechanic there at the time and later married our school teacher, Doris, secretary of Bria. Let's see, I also taught school at Bartow, West Virginia, very small school. Most days I had two students, Julia and Amos Meck, and I lived in a little single-wide trailer behind Uncle John Swartz's place. I'm going to say right now, there's not to overestimate your interest if I do, my apologies. There's a photo album back there that has pictures of some of these things. Don't feel obligated. Through that connection, James Landis was there. His daughter was in school occasionally. James had this, he had family in Kenya. He had this dream of drilling water wells there. And I still remember the first time the thought struck me that he's going to ask me to go over there and drill wells with him in Kenya. And he did, indeed. And Jonathan Hartzler went along a couple times. I think I was there three winters, consecutive winters. There again, the farm wasn't terribly busy in the winter. And I text Jonathan today. We think that ended up with maybe 20 water wells, which I guess sounds pretty small in some estimations. But if you consider that hundreds of people, if not thousands, use each of those wells, it felt worthwhile. Well, we had a steep learning curve. We went to northern Indiana to learn to drill water wells with Lawrence Martin. We also did a test well in Berkland, Georgia, and it's still there. Just a year or two ago, I stopped by the farm and looked at it, and it's still there. I don't know what else to say about that. That's saying a lot. In Kenya, I ended up catching malaria and didn't know why I was so sick and took tests, and they said it wasn't malaria, but I just kept getting sicker and ended up in the hospital. Aga Khan Hospital, I was amazed. The other day, I Googled Aga Khan Hospital. The front door looks just like it did when I walked in it and when I walked out of it. It's still there in Kisumu, Kenya. I was really sick. I think they wheeled me in a wheelchair, but I walked out on my own power, and I did not recover fully yet. malaria is one of those things. It's one of the diseases that if you get, you can never donate blood. And it does mess with your thermostat. Your internal thermostat gets a little messed up. You get cold chills and hot sweats, and you're never quite the same, maybe. Somewhere in there, I taught 2 years at Hickory Hollow School at Norwood Shanks' invitation, and I met an interesting 7th and 8th grade teacher. Her name was Lydia. We lived about 2 miles apart and really did not know each other. I circulated in southeastern circles. She circulated in Mount Pleasant circles. We did different things at different times. After we were married, she said she remembered praying for this guy in Africa that was sick. She had no idea it was me. And we think as children we were together somewhere for a Sunday lunch, but I don't remember it. She might. Let's see. Sometime in there, I was making some, I had some farm machinery that I rented out, including a dairy cow hoof trimming trailer, and I think Brother JP rented that occasionally, way back in the day.
Too many times.
I think eventually I built 5 or 6 of those. Somewhere in there, built a poultry house on Dad's farm. It would have been 98 or 99. Happily married on June 17th, 2000. That date's very important. At Bethany Church before the recent addition, so there was just the main auditorium and the wing and the little vestibule in the back. We think we had 165 people packed in there, and that was only the second wedding that had ever been held at Bethany, as far as I know. I think Davy and Paula's Showalters was the first, and our reception was in the bank basement there again before the new addition, and it was tight too, but we fit. And for our wedding trip, we went to Highland County and stayed at Ginseng Mountain Farm a couple days and then went on to the Smoky Mountains. And we never had any idea that we would live 18 years only 1 mile from that spot. You can still see both of those places today. They're there. Okay, I've missed a couple things. I was working for Eric Good with Good Services and Excavating. I was his first employee. It was funny because Eric was younger than I. I had a beard. He didn't. I usually drove the dump truck. He usually ran the machinery. And the quarry guys were convinced that I was the boss. And so we took it as kind of a joke for a while, and then we tried to straighten it out. He did, and I did, and we never could convince them that that's how it was. They would always ask me, so what do you have Eric on today? So I'm not quite sure if I was Eric's first employee or he was my first employee. But he was the boss. But we did a lot of hard physical labor together. That was back in the days when it was a very small company. We laid railroad ties, raked gravel, did any kind of little excavating thing. Let's see. And we were living, after we were married, we lived in the brick house across the road where the Crider family grew up. Sharon was born in 2001, Stephanie in 2003. And also in 2003, we moved to Monterey, Virginia to help start a church in Highland County. That was the mission committee working to try to decide where to start a church. They decided on Highland County, asked for volunteers to move. Lydia and I liked it. We had been there before, and we decided to try living there. We looked at a good many places hoping to build poultry houses. I still like poultry houses, but I haven't had one for a long time. We ended up with a small cabin and 48 acres, so heavy on land, short on space. The little cabin, we raised it 16 inches from its original position and dug a full basement. Lydia's dad, Vernon, and Tom Keener helped on that project. Later, we put an addition on the back, and Wendell Rohr was our general contractor, Sister Clara's father. Somewhere in there, sold the poultry house out to Daniel, continued to drive over Shenandoah Mountain to work, usually 4 10-hour days. Started a small repair shop for neighbors at the end of our lane. There was a little garage building there, not real big. I didn't really have a plan for it, but people kept asking if we could do this and that, and I started fixing lawnmowers and started a small shop, and eventually did less for Eric and more for Highland Welding. I have a little book here of just a very few smattering of some projects we did, if you have any interest at all. Here are some highlights from Highland Welding. Understand that that was a major part of my life for a long time. And doing what this says about doing it heartily to the Lord, it covered a wide span. A couple highlights. We took down and restored a Forestry Department fire lookout tower. It was 90 feet tall. That project included getting a crane to the top of a mountain with bulldozers and heavy equipment, taking it down, storing it, getting it restored, putting up new footers and foundations, and finding a gentleman that was willing to pay the money it was going to take, which eventually happened. We built numerous bridges, often 40 to 60 foot spans to carry log trucks, cement trucks. I enjoyed making bridges. One time I took a phone call from a lady who wanted her car seats reupholstered because she said we advertised that we did fabricating. We did some antique reproduction work for an old cabin. We made a brand new refrigerator look like a really old one by making wrought iron handles, covering the front with wormy chestnut, so on. We made one time a large steel sign for the Commonwealth's attorney there in Monterey. A couple sets of entrance gates. One is at Monterey Cemetery. That's just outside of Monterey. It's a large cemetery. They're still there. Building a couple different wood splitters. Some of those are here in the valley. Bruce Good has one. Warren Heatwell has one. Vernon Rohr has one. A couple others. One time, a gentleman bought a huge machine, a laser cutting machine, only to realize there was no way to get it in his building. And so he hired us to cut a hole in the wall where there were some windows and use a telehandler to pick this machine up, set it through the window, and set it down on the floor in rollers so they could roll it to its position and then put the windows and structure all back together. It was a steel building. One time there was a concrete truck wreck, and the state police called and wondered if I could torch the tank off of the truck because the wrecker could not get it up on the road. So I did, and they took the truck away that day, and a couple days later they came back and took the tank full of cement, which had hardened by that time, away. We had a neighbor who worked on antique banjos, really high-end antique banjos, and he would come over to the shop and want me to do some intricate repairs, which I did my best, but always felt inadequate, and then sometimes he would play for us. One job that I remember but I did not like was the sheriff called me one day and asked me if I would do something for him, and I said, well, maybe, tell me what it is. And he said, I have confiscated guns that need to be destroyed. I want you to destroy them, and I need to watch. So he brought them up to the shop. It was numerous guns, nice guns. And I asked him if there's any way out of this, and he said no. So while he watched, I put them in the bandsaw and cut them up in about five pieces apiece. I still have a distaste for that. Just felt wrong. He said it had to happen. And so anyway, we did. One time a farmer twisted off the key in his tractor ignition and was desperate to get that thing going and brought the key pieces to the shop, and through some amazing miracle, I was able to silver solder that thing together and file all the little pieces, and I still think the only reason it worked was because the key slot was really worn and about anything would start the tractor, but he was amazed. Through an unusual series of events, there was an architect that lived in Highland County, and he had connections in New York and New Jersey. We did three projects for this up there in the city. They usually took a week of preparation or two and then a week of installation. And so twice we went up there with a crew and lived in a motel for a week and did an install. And one more yet. One time at 2 o'clock in the morning in Highland County, someone knocked on our door and continued knocking until I went down. I got dressed, went down and answered. It was a lady. She's a little bit simple. She wanted to talk about a job at the shop. And so we talked for 15, 20 minutes as if it had been 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And at the end of the conversation, I said, ma'am, do you know what time it is? No, she said, I don't. What time is it? It was deep in the night. And it was fine. She was one of those special people. Hunting and trapping with a pastor friend who was also part Cherokee, Darren Massey. We have kept in touch. He was and is a man of God in a different setting, but also an amazing woodsman. Somewhere in there we added wood stoves because our business got really slow in the winter and it seemed like a natural fit because wood stoves were busy in the winter. Our first customer was Steve Varner and he took three that launched our business. Also, Eric Good and I decided to start Good Excavating in Monterey because everybody kept asking about excavating and it was a little bit of a vacuum in the county about that. We hired Joseph Shell, a community boy, and Mark McLaughlin later, a New York upstate New York community young man, and they both have been a tremendous blessing to the businesses and church and family. Our minister was Brother Claire Heatwell, and he was ordained bishop in 2004, so we were short a minister. Understand it was a small church. In 2006, Brother Dan Freed and I shared the lot for minister. I was ordained. Brother Dan was so sure that I would be ordained that when we got up from prayer, he handed me a card signed, "Dear Pastor Steve." Couldn't believe it. Still have it. He was sure, dead convinced that it was no use to go through the lot except for the formality so I could be ordained. I wasn't as sure. but then later, he was equally, or at least nearly equally, convinced that he was going through the lot with Brother Bradley for him to be deacon, but Brother Dan was ordained. And then later they moved to Lynchburg, and Brother Bradley became our deacon. In 2017, I was trying to do too much at once. Businesses that started small needed attention. I think I shortchanged my family, became overwhelmed and a bit discouraged, and I had some personal failures. And I was given temporary release from the ministry and then later set back from the ministry. I want to mention a few other things about McDowell Church. My dad, Alan Good, served as deacon there for a while, same one that served here. And Charles Heatwell, I passed away now, but he was our pastor for quite a number of years. I remember him preaching solid, comforting, encouraging messages. A couple highlights about McDowell Church. Community attendance was and is very good. Numerous members are first-generation Mennonites. Joe Shell would fit that category. Michael Shell, Mark McLaughlin, Sister Pat. I never really think about us and them, but if I dig back in my memory far enough, oh yeah, okay, they weren't always Mennonites. They came to our church and joined. We had a little bit of an issue that communion was on Sunday morning, and we had lots of visitors, and sometimes, at least once, some were disappointed they couldn't partake, in spite of Brother Claire's adequate detailed explanation. They still felt like, I mean, they were used to go to a church. It's communion. You can partake. Sure, of course. And so that was a little bit of a hurdle. We ended up moving our communion to Friday evening because we had so many visitors there for the other services. And I don't know if that still holds or not. I haven't asked for a while, but for a long time they were on Friday nights. That was a time that we could quietly announce a service and only the members knew or came, and then we could have communion. It was an unusual problem to have. It was a great problem, actually. One of those Friday evenings, the electricity went out, and we finished in the very dark. We could barely see Brother Claire's white shirt up front when he closed the service. It was dark, dark. You know, and of course, people had flashlights, but we got them out after the final prayer. Way back when we were planning for a new church building, we met in a Ruritan building like this, but it wasn't ours. It wasn't available to buy. And eventually, Brother Dan Freed helped us buy land, and we put in the septic system. But then there were many years that there was just a septic system there, no church, but that has changed. And there's a new church there. Also, we had an unexpected death in the church, and we needed a cemetery immediately. And Brother Glenn Heatwell came to us and said, "My farm is available. Pick the area you need. Fence it off. I'm donating it to the church." And there are two graves there. It's on Straight Creek Road, kind of between Monterey and McDowell. And I think at one point we actually had three instruction classes going at once. Through, I'm not sure what all or how, but that just felt like a great thing to have three consecutive instruction classes. One thing I really enjoyed was getting comments at the shop about Reaching Out magazine. We mailed Reaching Out magazine to the entire county, plus a few routes in West Virginia every quarter, and I would quite often get comments at the shop about the most recent issue of Reaching Out, whether they agreed, disagreed, mostly appreciated. What I thought, I learned that when that thing comes out, I better read it and read it well, because I would get questions about it, which was really good. We had great relationships with our many neighbors because of the wood stove, the shop, the excavating. Lydia or I could go to the grocery store, which was Dollar General, or the hardware store, and it was normally, you would know, half to two-thirds of the people in the store. I know that's hard to identify with in a business place like this, but it's a small population, not that many. Smallest population county east of the Mississippi, they say. So we learned to know even their vehicles at the shop, in the office, truck coming down the hill. I could often tell who it was by how it sounded before they got there. There were numerous wildlife situations. One time Lydia called our state trooper neighbor because there was a rabid coon on our porch and I was unavailable. It wasn't much later, it wasn't long, in, I don't know, a year or so, his wife, the state trooper's wife, called me because her husband was unavailable and she had a rattlesnake in her yard. And her method for dealing with rattlesnakes is empty out the garage and throw out the snake, and there was no snake to be found. I just remember how much stuff was in their yard because she really made sure it was gone. We had numerous bear situations in the backyard, on the porch. I almost got to touch a bear on our porch one time, but I didn't have the presence of mind to give it a kick. I wish I would have. One time I accidentally caught a bear in a foot trap and waded in and decided it was more than I could handle and went to get a friend, and when we came back it had gotten out. Also one time caught a deer in a foot trap, and I was able to successfully release that one, but deer are stronger than you think. It's like a goat on steroids or something. Jonathan was born in 2005, Joseph in 2006, Samantha in 2008, Joshua 2010, Sylvia 2014, Susan 2016. I'm going to try to wrap this up quickly. Started working at Christian Light more and was asked to come there full time. I think they asked twice. You can blame Brother Leon for that. And we moved to New Market in June of 22. We ended up selling our excavating business to a local Highland contractor. I'm in the process of selling our stove business to Mark McLaughlin. Joe and Rosine Schell have bought our house, and he's managing the shop there. And our daughter Sharon married Brandon Bang from South Carolina in 21. And we are forging relationships with our neighbors in Newmarket. We wanted to live in a place there were not, how do I say this gently, so many Mennonites in one spot. And we turned out that there's more Mennonites around Newmarket than we thought, but still, we have a lot of neighbors that don't know anything about us. And just a couple memories there. Do you remember the COVID thing? Actually, I was somewhat sick for about 2 weeks. And due to my nature, yep, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I rented an excavator because I was tired of cabin fever. We were putting in water lines to our pastures, and on Saturday afternoon, I drug through our electrical supply. Well, that turned out okay, but it was a little stressful. And just this year, I'm a little self-conscious about this, but just this year, in relation to neighbors, we were handing out Christmas plates. We went to a neighbor we had not met, but we saw sometimes. Their dog was straining at the leash a little bit, and when I handed the gentleman his plate and put my hand down, their dog got a hold of me right here and down across my hand, and it really hurt, and he felt really bad, but it turned out okay. It wasn't that big of a deal, really, in the big picture. There's more than one way to learn to know your neighbors. And I might as well close with just a couple things. One thing about the future. I don't know, you can't spend but so much time in Africa until you leave a piece of your heart there. And Lord willing, this spring, the mission committee is putting together a trip of a couple brethren to go back to Kenya and look about a little church there that has been reaching out and wanting some biblical teaching. So might be able to go back to Kenya this spring. I'm going to close with two verses from Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I hope I've covered the past thoroughly enough that I've satisfied your curiosity for a long time. But I am willing to answer questions now or later, or if you have comments or corrections, I really do welcome that. What did I leave that left you wondering?